Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you please read together with me today's sermon title, The Last Prayer in the Bible. Based on our epistle lesson from Revelation 22, listen to these words. Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming soon. And let the one who hears say, Come. He who testifies to these things says, Surely, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come." Please turn in your worship handout and find your sermon outline as we consider our theme, the very last prayer in the Bible. Jesus promises that he's coming soon and bringing with him the end of this world and the beginning of a life eternity with him in heaven. And John's response is a simple prayer. He says, "Amen, come, Lord Jesus." The last prayer in the Bible and the last verses of the entire Bible. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Maybe you've heard this prayer spoken in church before. Maybe you've said it on occasion. Come, Lord Jesus, please come quickly. I am fed up with the pains and the disappointments and the heartaches of this life. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Usher in your kingdom and take me home where I yearn to be. I can remember a time when I was a student at the seminary in St. Louis, Missouri. It was at the end of the spring term, right around this time of the year. I had more work than I could possibly get done. I had exams to study for, papers to write. So one evening, I did the only logical thing I could think of. I set aside all my work and went with a buddy to a St. Louis Cardinals Major League Baseball game. Now, I remember when I got back to my room after that game, it was very late at night. The books hadn't moved. The exams still had to be taken the next Monday. And so I prayed the only logical prayer I could think of. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And if you could make it before next Monday when the exams come, that would be just fine. We've all had times something like that, and many much more difficult. Life gets hard for us for one reason or another. Then we remember that Jesus will come back and bring an end to pain and suffering. He will come back and bring an end to all of our tears and grief. He will come back and bring the dead out of their tombs with glorified bodies, never again to be subjected to disease and decay and death. Oh, it'll be incredible on that last day when he returns. And often we wish he would fulfill his promise sooner than later. And we pray that last prayer, come, Lord Jesus, come. Did you know that the church throughout the ages has prayed this simple prayer, this last prayer in the Bible? Yes, it has. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The last verses of the last book of the Bible, this prayer expresses the hope of thousands of years of biblical history, starting with our first parents and Adam and Eve in the garden. This prayer continues to be prayed by believers all around the world today. Why? Look at your sermon outline. I want to suggest two main reasons. Number one, first, we want Jesus to come back soon because it is not safe here in this world. And secondly, we want him to come back soon because we want to go home. Let's take a look at these reasons. We pray this prayer because it's not safe here. Let's don't sugarcoat reality. This world is an evil place. And the scriptures make it clear it will get worse before it gets better. In the Revelation reading today, just before these words, come, Lord Jesus, listen to what John said about his day. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Things haven't changed. Look around us today. It is not safe here. Preparing for this sermon, I found some old news reports. Listen to some of these from the internet, from TV news, from newspapers. A 37-year-old woman is arrested with $200,000 worth of drugs in her house. She's a drug dealer, and she uses her two little children to traffic the illegal drugs in and out of her house so she won't get caught. A city in another location is beginning a media blitz to save unwanted babies. In this city, parents are abandoning their newborns in record numbers, putting newborn infants in trash bins, in alleys, in parks. The media blitz of TV, radio, internet declares that parents will not be charged with jail time if they just leave their baby at a safe location. Administrators in another city of a public high school, Ben, you can relate to this. In this school, they forbid the Gideon's Bible Society to distribute free Bibles on their campus. But the same administrators installed condom machines in both boys' and girls' bathrooms to promote safe sex. In another city, police interview 100 students from a small college where a 19-year-old girl was found murdered in her dormitory room. When interviewed, the parents said they especially sent their girl to this small school out of fear of a big university. Look around our world today. It is not safe here. It is not a safe place for God's church and God's people. And it's not just the blatant evil around us, like these examples I've given you. Listen carefully now. It's also the subtle, sneaky, seemingly no big deal evil that affects every one of us. This evil tempts Christian people, tempts you and me, tempts us to live like the unbelievers all around us, tempts us to accept the lies of the devil, and he rejoices. So we hear, oh, it's no big deal, Pastor, that Sunday worship isn't a priority for me and my family. Our calendar is just so full. Even on Sundays. Oh, we can't take time for prayer together as a family. I hardly have time now to drive the kids to every event they've got to get to. Oh, I just have to work more hours. I know my spouse and my children want me more at home, but I have to work to get more money to buy more things for my family that everybody else seems to have. Christian people today are being seduced by this world, and we wonder why our families aren't what they should be. We wonder why the faith isn't being passed down to the next generation. It's not safe here, and too often we who know better have bought in to the lies of this unsafe world. Today, we see our need to repent. To see how the world around us is getting worse and not better. And so we can find ourselves in prayer, praying that last prayer of the Bible, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and get us out of this mess. But the second reason, look at your sermon outline, we pray this prayer, is because deep down in each of our hearts, we just want to go home. We want to be in God's presence in heaven. There's an old children's song that goes like this. Heaven is a wonderful place, full of glory and grace. I just want to see my Savior's face, 'cause heaven is a wonderful place. Why is it so wonderful? Is it because our heavenly home will be more beautiful than our wildest imaginations can conceive? That's part of the reason, but not the main reason. What makes a place a home is the people who live there. Now, someone, and most people do, have a bigger house, a better house, a more expensive house, or a newer house than I have. but I would not call that my home. Home is where the most important people I know and love are. And heaven is our home because Jesus is there. Heaven is being filled to the brim with peace and contentment and joy and the love of being in God's presence. Heaven, our eternal home, is wonderful because Christian loved ones who have predeceased us are already there wanting to welcome us home. We want Jesus to come back because we're not really home yet. As the old hymn says, I am but a stranger here. Heaven is my home. We're not really home. We're not with those all that we love. We're not enjoying the full presence of being with God. Oh, we're on the way, but we're not there yet. And there is a built-in homesickness in each of our hearts. In the book of Ecclesiastes from the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 11, listen to what it says. God has placed eternity into our hearts. So we pray that last prayer in the Bible. Come, Lord Jesus. But he hasn't come. He hasn't yet answered that prayer. And we are still here. He hasn't come back, but we are still on our way. So Jesus makes us an offer. He makes us an offer while we're traveling through this life. He invites us now to come to him in a very special way. In verse 17 of today's Revelation 22 text, listen to what John writes. Come unto me, says Jesus, whoever is thirsty. Come for the free gift of the water of life. Today he invites you and me and all people to come to where he may be found. To where he will give us the free gift of the water of life to quench our deepest thirst. Where is that place? That place is here, in the midst of his people, our home, the church. Several years ago, I was traveling. I remember it clearly. Driving out of Chicago, trying to make it back to where I was living in St. Louis, trying to get home for Christmas. The day I left, a terrible storm hit. It was raining when I began, but soon the rain turned into ice on the highway. The windshield wipers were so coated with ice, they wouldn't clear the windshield. I got out of my car and slipped and fell in the black ice, trying to clean off my windshield wipers. Trucks were pulled off to the side of the road. Semi-trailers would go no further. I should have got the hint. There was no way I was going to get home. I knew I couldn't make it home that night. But I had some relatives who live not too far down the highway. I could make it there. They weren't expecting me, but I stopped anyway. And when the door was open, out came the warmth of the house and the wonderful smell of a home-cooked meal. I was welcomed in. I was fed a good meal, had some good laughs, given a comfortable bed. It was not where I'd hoped to end up that night, but it was wonderful to be in such a nice and loving home on a dangerous night. Today, our Lord Jesus invites us to come and stay with our brothers and sisters in Christ in the family called the church. Until that day when we are home with him in heaven, in this family called the church, we are welcomed. We are fed. We are loved. We are given a place to find refuge. Yes, here we're welcomed. Our dirty clothes of sin and shame are taken away. We are given new clothes to wear, robes of righteousness, because of the forgiveness of Jesus. Here we are fed with heavenly food, the body and blood of Christ at the altar, the true word of God preached and taught. Here we are fed with God's nutritious food that really satisfies, so we can say no to the garbage fast food that this world has to offer. And here in Christ Church, we are given a place to rest. Yes, we have to go back into the world. Yes, we have to continue our journey. But here, look around, we are reminded we are never alone in this journey. We're reminded that one day, all we see here will truly be home. And every tear will be wiped away. Did you hear me? Every tear will be wiped away with unbounded joy because we will be home. When my son Christopher and daughter Abigail were 5 and 2 years old, living in Seattle, they were often very sad in the morning when I would have to leave them and go to my church office. They'd almost break my heart as they stood at the glass front door with their little faces pressed up against the glass door with tears in their eyes. "Don't go, Daddy. Don't go. Come back, Daddy. Come back." But oh, the joy for all of us. When I came back before supper time, and I could see them through the same glass door, jumping up and down and saying, "Daddy's home. Daddy's home. Now we can go out and play ball with Daddy." Oh, Daddy came back home. And so we pray that last prayer in the Bible. Come back, Lord Jesus. Come back. One day, soon He will. And we will celebrate no longer with tears on our cheeks or our faces pressed up against a glass door. But until that day, we gather. We gather together where He promises to meet us, to give us His gifts in the church. Because here He strengthens us for our homeward journey. And until that day, we pray with all faith, come, Lord Jesus, come. In the name of Jesus, amen.